Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This morning I want to talk to you about the deep things of God. It's not funny, but it is certainly unfathomable, but knowable when we consider what God wants us to know. Think about it. God is just too deep for us to fathom. Jesus shows us when he was here, as he was teaching his disciples, he had so many statements that were so hard to connect with. The disciples, you had to imagine what it must have been to be with Jesus in the moment whenever he was speaking some of the difficult truths that he shared with his disciples. Maybe you've read the Gospels and you've read some things that Jesus said and you said, Jesus, I don't understand what you mean here. I'd like to look at one such example in Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53, when Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. See what I mean? Sometimes Jesus speaks some hard truths to connect with. Jesus said that he came not to bring peace, but division. And the relationships that he uses to help illustrate the point of the three and five, the two and the three in the house that are divided, the father and the son and the daughter and the mother and the daughter-in-law and the mother. I mean, we think about relationships like that. We think about the divisions that crop up in our personal daily relationships. Relationships are hard. Getting along with people are hard, and getting along with your son-in-law is even harder. But Jesus speaks of not bringing peace, but bringing division. Jesus, what is it about you that divides families? In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, we know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus did not come to bring peace, but division. And then in John, early on in his ministry, he comes to reveal that he did not bring condemnation, but salvation through his name. What in the world is it that divides families? What is it that would bring division among us? I think when you think about what Jesus is saying, it's not the family that you're born into physically that determines your entrance into heaven. As a matter of fact, unless you call upon the name of Jesus, there is no peace. There is no deliverance. And you can expect condemnation and judgment. But in the name of Jesus, we find division. And I find that something very difficult to stand up here and reconcile this morning. That we consider the lovely, beautiful name of Jesus. His work on the cross and the message of grace through him. His work on the cross to take your sins and my sins, to go to the grave, to rise again on the third day. And we have everlasting life in him when we call on his name and trust him in faith. We ask him to forgive us our sins, and he forgives us. We turn from our sins to serve him and follow him with our life. And yet Jesus highlights the point that his name brings division. What I know of Jesus personally, he didn't bring division. He didn't divide me. He brought healing and brings me life. But then when you think about the bigger context of what Jesus is saying, what divides families? Some believe and some don't. And you can count on Jesus to speak the truth. In Luke and in John, Jesus' statements are so clear to hear. I hope that you can hear me this morning with clarity. I hope that you can understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. Because Jesus' statement is so simple to follow along with, but at the same time hard to follow. Because his statement is too deep to understand unless you know him. I want to say something this morning that's demonstrated at the cross. It was revealed at the empty tomb. And I want you to say this with me. I am loved in Christ. Why is that so simple to understand, so easy to follow, and yet too deep to fathom? The love of Christ. It's simple enough for a child to grasp. Amazing. Developmentally, as human beings grow up, we start out in innocence as a child. We understand what love is, though we do not understand everything that love is. But we understand enough as a child to know love. I think when I say the word love, there's probably some connection that you have that I don't have with love. And our understandings may differ by degree because we don't have the same relationships. We don't have the same people in our life that really tests our love. A mother and her child. I'll never fathom that because I'm not a mother. A son's love for his mother, I can understand that. And I hope that I can help my mother to understand my love for her. But I'll never fully understand her love for me. And love, and to be loved in Christ, is simple enough for a child to grasp, but it is sometimes too difficult for an adult to accept. It comes and demonstrated in sharing the gospel with a child versus sharing the gospel with an adult. A child hears what Jesus did for them, and in tenderness, will easily call upon the Lord. But an adult whose defined love as experienced in this broken world, knowing that there have been moments in our life where our loved ones have let us down, and if we're comparing the love of Christ to the love of our relationships that we've experienced in this earth and this world, we'll never ever find a great connection there. Because if you've lived long enough and you've done life on this planet enough, you know that love sometimes lets you down. But not so when you realize that I am loved in Christ. No, to be loved in Christ is something that comes in that moment of faith when you and I place our faith and trust in Him. But oh, how much deeper that relationship with Him grows and should grow each and every day, understanding the depths of I am loved in Christ. Easy enough, simple enough for a child to understand, yet too deep for an adult to accept. Because sometimes we think back to our guilt and our problems. Sometimes we can't let go of things that have held us back, those weights, those sins that have beset us. And we just keep thinking, Lord, I'm just unlovable. I don't know why I keep messing up. I don't know why I keep doing the same things that I keep doing. Why is it easy for a child and so difficult for an adult? It's because an adult sometimes can't let go and realize that in Christ, I am loved. And that statement is deep enough. I am loved in Christ. What's needed in our lives is for Jesus to help us understand. This morning, our message has one really big idea, and this is it. The Holy Spirit reveals all that God makes accessible for the believer. I'll say that because it doesn't sound all that deep, but oh, it is. The Holy Spirit reveals everything that God has made accessible for the believer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Jesus to give us some help this morning, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come to you in this moment of our need. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would illumine the Scriptures. I thank you, Lord, for your servant Paul, who shared these words with a church in need, church with problems. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the helper, the comforter that you have given us. And Lord, while we are just starting out this series, I pray that your Holy Spirit would connect with our hearts the deep truths that you want us to know about you. And Lord, admittedly, we will never know the full depths of how wonderful and how great you are. But Lord, give us just enough help today to see enough of you today to help get us through today. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So last week when we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we looked at everything that was prepared for me. Well, and that's not a deep subject, but it is going to go to deep waters. I'd like us to consider what Paul said again, just in review. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And the takeaway is this: I cannot fathom all that God has waiting for me. And I look around the room, and I see there are believers present today at different stages in their spiritual walk with Jesus. I have not had all of the experiences that you have lived in this life. But when you and I, from where we're at, looking at the horizon of what God has waiting for us, we see little different glimpses of the same reality. And yet, each and every one of us cannot fathom all that God has waiting for me. Brother Clifton, you said this just a few moments ago. You couldn't help but think when we sang, surely goodness and mercy, that you were thinking about the others who were on the other side, experiencing the goodness and mercy of God in His presence. I look around the room and think about dear saints that have gone on from our membership, who today know far more than you and I could ever fathom in this life. And I cannot fathom that all that God has waiting for me, and I trust that it's good because he's good. Does it mean that it's going to be easy? But I cannot fathom everything that he has waiting for me. And that's okay. Because these little minds of ours and these little hearts of ours deal with problems on a scale, well, a scale that only life can help us get through by the grace of God alone. Those difficult moments, I'm glad that he hasn't revealed all of those difficult moments before ahead of you. Because you would imagine if you were to sit down and have you ever signed a contract when you looked at all the providers and all the riders in the contract and all of the exclusions that were there? It can be overwhelming, and sometimes you think, wait a minute, what am I actually signing up for? Faith in Christ is fulfilling, satisfying, but not always easy. And yet, I cannot fathom all that God has waiting for me. And so when Paul says that concerning how our hearts and our minds cannot comprehend, can't fathom what God has waiting for us, I hear what you're saying, Paul, but I just don't follow. Because it's a very vague sounding statement. And yet, in faith, the believer connects with the words of Paul and knows what's waiting. Know who's waiting. And know that this moment does not win. Jesus has already won the victory. And the grave has been defeated. And no matter how insurmountable our problems or obstacles may be in Christ and the riches of his glory, there is a better day awaiting in his presence. So yeah, Paul, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really follow because I can't follow something that I can't understand fully. Have you ever been given a task and asked to do something and you didn't know what it was that you were supposed to do? And so you just gave up on it because, well, it wasn't clear. Jesus has said some really hard statements. And it is hard for us to connect with those statements. So at this moment, for every believer, we cry out. We say, Lord, help's wanted. We need your help to understand your words as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Lord Jesus, help us in these next few moments. Paul writes, but God hath revealed unto them, unto us, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Everything that you and I know, someone else has taught us. Every little behavior, every little tick, every little hang-up that you and I have, someone taught us that behavior, gave us that insight. I am still getting an education at this point in my life. Are you still getting some training about what it means to live on this planet? You might have lived 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. I think every day brings new discoveries. Every day brings us something new and something insightful to be learned. And you can thank someone else for teaching you what you know. And so this morning I say to every teacher, every child care worker, every elementary school teacher, middle school teacher, high school teacher, college professor, every manager on the job, every neighbor who showed you kindness, I say everyone has some sort of lesson that they have shared with us that have brought us to this place in our life. And even though we have been learning every day of our life, you have to agree with me that we're still incomplete with what it is that we have to know. Everything that I know, someone else has taught me. Everything that I know about the scriptures, I have learned in the classroom. But I want you to realize there's something different about having someone teach you just to know the right answer. There's a big difference between knowing the right answer and knowing the God of the scriptures. And everything that I know about God, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. That's how it works. Our first point this morning, God is knowable. Doesn't sound that deep of a statement, does it? But oh, how deep it is. Look back with me at verse 10. But God hath revealed unto him, unto us by his Spirit. It sounds so simple, yet it's so profoundly deep. That everything that you and I know of God has been shared to us by the Holy Spirit. And I want to make a distinction or a connection this morning between understanding and knowing. Because you can teach, you can go and you can learn catechisms or you can learn doctrines. On paper, you might be able to pass an exam. But unless you know the God of the Bible, knowing what the Bible says doesn't get you to what you're looking for. Everything that God wants us to know about us, about himself, and about us, he's given to us in his scriptures. And he hasn't stopped there in giving to us. He gives us so much more. He gives us his Holy Spirit to understand his Bible. Every believer who has the Holy Spirit inside may know God deeper. I hope I haven't lost you here on this one. Every believer who has the Holy Spirit inside may know God deeper. And that's the difference. Unless the Holy Spirit's inside, unless you've had that transforming work in your life through faith in Christ alone, you can sit and read your Bible for hours and hours and hours and may be able to tell me about more about what the Bible says than I know personally. But it's not the same type of knowledge. Every believer who has the Holy Spirit inside may know God deeper. This is how it looks on a scale. Every mature believer knows a deeper faith than a new believer. Do you remember back when you first trusted Christ as your Savior? That excitement and that joy of knowing that your sins have been forgiven. It's something that happens in maturity each and every day. He didn't let me down at the cross when I came to him in faith, and he has not yet let me down still. Jesus at work in my heart and in my life. Every mature believer who's grown in the faith knows a deeper faith than a new believer, but we both understand something fundamentally and profoundly different than an unbeliever. Because a new believer knows what an unbeliever does not know. The one who does not have the Holy Spirit cannot know God, and that's the difference. If you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't understand the deeper things of God that God wants you to know about him. As I mentioned last week when I spoke of Eva Vincent in the hospital, who laying in her hospital bed one night and heard cries coming out from the ward at the Alamance Regional Medical Center, she told me the next morning, she says, I couldn't help but think how tragic it would be to try to live this life without knowing Jesus, the hopelessness, the despair. She said, I was hurting and I was in pain, but I knew that my hurt and my pain wouldn't be the end. And what those other people were hollering out and crying out for in pain, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what, you're not alone. And when she shared those words with me, it really touched me. The way a Holy Spirit can comfort a believer so far better than I can. The Holy Spirit that ministers to you and to me makes up for the inadequacies of me ministering to you and you to me. Because God is knowable. We can understand Him, yes, in reading our Bibles. But unless we have that experience, that battlefield faith tested on the battlefield of this life, there's a division that exists. Mature believers understand something that new believers don't follow to the depths of, but new believers understand far more than an unbeliever can ever know, because the one who's got the Holy Spirit inside knows what God wants them to know about Him. Knowing God means that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And that's what I'm saying when I say God is knowable. We receive His Holy Spirit into our lives. Was that hard to follow? How about this next second point? God knows Himself. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Sounds so simple, yet it's so profoundly deep. Paul's addressing something that's the heart of the matter. No one really knows your heart, right? No one really knows what's inside you, right? You are the only one who knows all about you, right? You can hide a lot in your heart that other people don't know about you. You can carry a lot of weights and a lot of burdens in your heart, and I'm not necessarily going to the bad place where you're living a double life, but you and I bear a lot of burdens in our lives that other people just have no idea of what we are going through. You can tell them that it's difficult, but no one really knows what's in your heart, right? The only person who can know what's in the heart of a man is that man. The only person who can know what's in your heart is you. It's what Paul illustrates and points out. But I want to caution us to think less of what that means. Knowing how you think is not the same as knowing your heart. My wife knows how I think. As a matter of fact, she knows what I'm thinking before I've even thought it, because she has lived with me. She knows how shallow I am. And I can't get by with anything in her presence. But knowing how you think is not the same as knowing your heart. I can tell my mother that I love her, and she can tell me that she loves me. But there's a disconnect at some level. As I pointed out a few moments ago, I will never fully understand how much she loves me, and she will never fully understand how much I love her, even though we communicate, because I can't know her heart and she can't know my heart. Only she can know her heart and only I can know my heart. To really know someone, you have to know the depths of their heart. I love to spend time with my friends, my family, my wife. I love trying to get to know somebody. But I know that even in our time together, there's just an inadequacy that we will never, ever really connect at the most basic level. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? That someone won't really know what's inside of your heart. how you really feel about them. I know oftentimes some of you are trying to send messages to me that my necktie is messed up or my hair is a little messed up or my collar stuck up. And I don't know what you're doing. I just think that you're having a Holy Ghost experience out there in the congregation, because I don't really know what you're trying to say. I don't know what's in your heart, even though you can see what's on my person. God is knowable. And God knows himself. Who better to know God than God? This is where it gets really deep. And yet we're going to spend such a short amount of time here. By the illustration that Paul is making, only a man can understand what's in a man's heart. When you apply that same rule, only God can understand God's heart. That's why the Holy Spirit knows God, because the Holy Spirit is God. God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is not divided, God is not conflicted, God knows himself. The Holy Spirit knows God's heart. And God gives us his Spirit in our heart. And this is where it gets hard to follow, because God is inside me. God's presence is with me. And while you and I may not understand each other's heart, God knows our heart intimately. And the mind-blowing reality as a believer in Jesus is that God himself knows me. There is not a part of me that is not touched by him, for he knows me. The Holy Spirit, who knows everything about God, is inside of me, and he knows everything about me. The Holy Spirit inside. He's knowable. And he's inside me. And the reality that God gave his Holy Spirit to me to freely know him sounds, again, lastly, that it's so simple, but yet it is so deeply profound. Look with me in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See what Paul does here in the verse? He pits the spirit of this world against the Spirit of God. The spirit of this world. What's he referring to? The way this world operates. If you try to find God in the way this world operates, yes, there's enough general revelation for us to see him and stand accountable to him, but we will never find what we're looking for in this world, because there is nothing lasting or satisfying in this world. The Spirit of God reveals that to us. That's what part of the process of growing in our faith towards maturity is. All of the stuff that I lean upon and rest upon and think about, it's what I use to get me through the day. The Holy Spirit says, you don't need that. You don't need to hang on to that. You can let that go. Jesus dealt with that at the cross. You don't have to think that you are all alone in this, or that you need some extra help, because I am here. The spirit of this world will never satisfy, because only the Spirit of God can bring the satisfaction. And so get this, when you're thinking about the spirit of this world, which before Christ, before faith in Christ, we operate with the rules and live by the spirit of this world. And after our faith in Christ, we've received his Holy Spirit inside of us. And I want you to understand, Jesus has talked about this, there is no room for both inside of me, the spirit of the world and the spirit of God. They're incompatible. You can't be under two masters, Jesus says. Either you'll love the one and hate the other. And there's no room inside for me to look for hope and satisfaction apart from Jesus, without the Holy Spirit in my life to guide me. Because everything that God has prepared for me is greater than this world. Your eye can't imagine, your heart can't fathom everything that God has prepared for us. So why is it that time to time we think and we struggle and we say, Lord, I know that you've got great things awaiting me, but I've got a problem here that's just overwhelming, and it's big. I've got an obstacle, whether it's a diagnosis, whether it's a problem on the job, whether it's a financial struggle. And a lot of times we come to God when we've got our problems, which that's the best time to come to Him, is when we have our problems. But we leave dissatisfied when it doesn't work out in our favor. Wait a minute, God. I came to you. I asked you to bring me through this. And yet I'm on the other side of this and it didn't work out in my favor. Remember, everything that God has prepared for me is greater than this world. So the moment didn't work out the way you thought that it would work out. But know that in Christ, we realize through the Holy Spirit ministering and testifying to us that everything that God has prepared for me is greater than this world. And I do not look to my hope and my satisfaction in the things that this country looks to sustain us. Our food supply may get shorter, but everything that God has prepared for me is greater than this world. Our temperatures outside may get a whole lot hotter, but everything that God has prepared for me is greater than this world. And I can say that over and over and over again until the Holy Spirit connects you with that truth. You won't find the lasting peace and the satisfaction of knowing Him. Paul said, everything that God has prepared for him, it's beyond imagination. And that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the really deep things of God. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. And the Holy Spirit is inside me, and I can know. Perhaps the most divisive statement that I made this morning, that was from the words of Jesus, was that Jesus came to set me free to know God, as evidenced in the Luke passage I shared with you in John 3:16, 17, and 18. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." And I want to tell you there, what we just read was so deep, so simple for a child to follow, so difficult for an adult to grasp, is that we have everything God wants us to know and have in Christ. And it was redemption's plan from way before this all became even a problem. God had already had the solution in place, His Son. And that you and I have access to the Savior. And that you and I, as Gentiles, have access to the Savior who didn't just come to save a few, but to lay down His life for this world. And the mystery hidden from the beginning is Jesus. Paul, writing again in the introduction of Colossians chapter 1, like he did to the Ephesians, is giving some insight, some rich history and doctrine for the church. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 28, Paul writes, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And that great mystery that Paul's been referring to and alluding to is Jesus himself. Why was it that God waited till the moment that he did in our human history? Why wasn't that he didn't intervene earlier, though we had seen him intervene throughout Israel's history in small ways, to point each time that the person that God had placed as a deliverer in Israel's camp was not the one who was coming to fulfill everything that God had set in place for this world's deliverance? And for me to say that the mystery is the message of Christ in me sounds like a simple answer. But oh, it's so profoundly deep. For faith in Christ alone transforms my destiny. My faith in Christ alone, not because I've been attended Sunday school, not because I gave money to the church, not because my parents raised me in church, but because I know Jesus personally. Not because I was born into a Christian family or raised in a Christian country, but my faith alone in Christ alone is what makes the difference. And the mystery that satisfies what we've been looking for is the gift of Jesus to God's saints. And I say that, the gift of Jesus to his saints, not that I'm trying to exclude someone, but the message that Jesus came and laid down his life to take your sins and my sins, to go to the grave and to rise again the third day, the message of the scriptures that Paul is preaching here wasn't that it was just reserved for Israel, but rather for the world, inside of Israel's boundaries in the promised land and outside of Israel's boundaries of the promised land. And that you and I stand forgiven and free in Christ. And the gift of Jesus to us who believe is something that we understand on an order of magnitude depending upon our relationship with him. The mature believer, the new believer, but the unbeliever does not know. The gift of the Holy Spirit inside me. That when Jesus went up to heaven, that he left his spirit with his disciples and his followers, and that you and I have this gift inside of us. His Holy Spirit, something that has been remarkable and now new experience for humanity after the cross and that day at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down and the church explodes in growth. This new relationship that believers have with God, that Jesus may not be with us in person, but his Spirit is in our person. The gift of the Holy Spirit is that deep, deep thing of God that you and I can never fully fathom or understand completely. And of all of that, the mystery that Paul had been referring to, what had not been known prior but now is made known, the message that Jesus has come and the grave has been overwhelmed, death has been defeated, and Jesus is alive, that in faith I may know him. And that in faith, I may receive him. And that in faith, his Holy Spirit leads me, brings us to the great depth of truth. That God is knowable, God knows himself, and that God invites you to know him if you don't know him. And if you do know him, he invites you to know him deeper. See, this morning's message is for everyone that could possibly hear this message. God invites you to know him. For some, it may be new life in Christ through trusting Jesus as your Savior, turning from your sins and coming to him as the Lord, asking him to save you. He does, and he gives you his Holy Spirit. Maybe you're at an immature place in your life, And he wants you to know that, you know what, when you're looking to the stuff of this world, the overwhelming weights of this world, the spirit of this world that overwhelms us and bogs us down, you can't follow both. So stop trying. There's no room in your heart to invite back the Holy Spirit into the Holy Spirit's presence, the spirit of this world. God is inside you. Follow his leading. For the mature believer, oh Lord, I realize that I'm just beginning to scratch the surface. Our response this morning is this. Remember the big idea, the Holy Spirit reveals all that God has made accessible for us as the believer? Well, here's how we work through this. Ask ourselves, am I following my own will? Am I living for myself? Am I living with the strength of this world and relying upon the spirit of this world? Or am I following the Spirit's leading? This is a hard statement I'm about to say. Am I where I need to be in Christ? Is there anything beside or between me and my Savior? Now that one, that's an overwhelming and a condemning statement. But Jesus did not come to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. And there's hope and there's deliverance, casting aside those weights that beset us. And we lastly surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading. We've had two messages on the Holy Spirit as we're nearing what it means to know him. And yet this morning, we realize how deep he is. And I'm going to tell you, here in the beginning, we'll never know him fully, though he will give us enough that we need to know day by day and moment by moment as we follow him. So may this be our prayer. Jesus, show me how much of your depths I can fathom today.